Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon role-playing podcast made by us and presented to you, projected into your ears in this experience that you're now having. And I, Stuart Clark, am the inventor of the device that is doing that. Not for all podcasts, I can't claim that, but for this specific podcast, I made it. I made the device. I couldn't have done it without some help, because although I am running the game, I am not the whole game. And that is completed with the help of Ali Hill, who's next to me, my coding wizard. Yeah. Right?
That
you
is
did the,
me, man.
You did the coding for this, didn't you?
I did all that coding. 0011000100, Stu.
That's fascinating.
Right?
That's fascinating.
Am I right?
Yeah, am I right? Ali reading that out probably did something in the app, didn't it? Probably made a little left. A little picture of a Doge coin just pop up, didn't it? Yeah, that's fun. That's fun, Ali.
We're now rich, guys. We can give up the podcast finally.
We made our millions.
Just
get Bitcoin. We just did Bitcoin. That's great.
We just got Bitcoin. And speaking of something as valuable as Bitcoin, my character, Kenny Mullet, an empathetic yet haunted young man on a quest to use his poker powers to save Formia from civil war annihilation. He's got some Pokemon helping him out. The Dogecoin to his Bitcoins. He has got Decidueye called Bowtie, a Gyarados Contra called Fedora, a Salandit called Hoops, a Kamoa called King Thrush, a Spiritomb called Swirly, a Galvantula called Fleek. That's it. You know what, Stu? Thank you for saying what you said about my expert coding skills. That's very generous of you. But the true hero behind this app, is it an app that we've invented?
I think we've landed on app. I think we're going with app. Yep.
We're going with
the
app.
Critical Ditto app.
The true hero behind this app, it's not in the coding. It's all in the presentation. Our chief designer, David Leavesley. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, Ali. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the announcement of Critical Ditto 13XG. If you thought it was great before, you were right. You were right. I'll now be handing this over to my English David to do the rest of this. Hi, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Steve Jobs David, for that introduction. Yeah, no, the design is slicker. The colors are better. The non-binary characters are more powerful and in charge of more of the world than they were approximately four episodes ago. And that's what really matters, because I play Theo, the sardonic new O of the Church of Slowking, who has immediately disappeared to go fight in a war for the fate of Formia. And on Theo's team, I mean, classic RPG, isn't it? Theo's team is composed of a Medicham, a Leavanny, a Kabuto somehow, Barbaracle, a Combi, a Slowpoke, and that's it, isn't it? It's been a while.
Big hole in that team somewhere, isn't there, David?
There's a big hole, but also there's a Zygarde knocking around in a cube, so we're all doing okay in some ways, aren't we? And now that we've had aesthetic and function, the last thing is always a little bit of a wild card that really gets things going, and I know nobody better at talking about chaos than Tomothy Dale. Come on out here.
Gahar! Look down! That's right, further down. Yes, it's me. I'm inside the app. Now, we don't actually have too many code. Ali programmed me to fire my harpoons into your eyes, and that's how we project the podcast into you.
Ali, you created an AI pirate that now he exists on his own.
Oh, I put in a few R's instead of O's. Easy mistake to make.
And one of those O's is Brandy, the ex-cheerleader, the Pokemon champion with a death wish and wants to save the world at the same time. Will she make up her mind? Who knows? Maybe this episode we'll discover it. And on her team, she's got Lopunny called Wimpy. She's got a Drapion called Gary. She's got a Melmetal called Flower. She's got a Bunnelby called Dr. Bunnelby, PhD. And she's got a Munchlax named Snorleone. And she's got a Carcole named Lightning McQuee. And once I've thrown those harpoons into the eyes of our listeners so they can both experience the podcast through their eyes, we turn your eyes into ears by blinding you. Back to you, Stu, the crazy inventor who made me.
Okay, Mr. Pirate. I'm just going to ask you just really quickly, do you feel love?
Me? Only harpoons. If I shoot a harpoon into my chest, maybe that's love.
Okay, guys, quick. Conflab. I don't know if that's passed the Turing test or not, but what do we do? What do we do about this?
Certainly not the Bechdel test.
No, definitely not the Bechdel test. Oh, okay. He's quite smart. This guy's good. I think we keep him around, actually.
You created one male pirate who can
You've
talk
got good
to
banter
himself.
Pirate. You can have your life and your existence.
Is that the new name of the app, then? Banter Pirate, our new
it's
app.
It's Banter pirates. Yeah.
Gahar,
yeah.
Well, we'll need a prologue or something to describe how it was born.
Tell us how the saga began, pirate.
Oh!
Theo smiled and placed a hand on Adri's shoulder.
I trust all of you because at one point I didn't trust a single one of you.
And with one final kiss, Theo went to save the world.
Cut to the sounds of war. You don't leave now, Gary. They kill us. I can give you the time you need. Let me stall them. I look to see Gary closing the large steel door at the top of the steps as the final members of our battalions dove back to the centre of the league.
A wooden tunnel formed around Salad's arm. Then he saw what he had feared. Eyes. Chrome blue and malevolent.
How did they know we were here?
Tyronius saw a silhouetted human figure amongst them and heard a voice say, "Give up, Mystic." And a bloody, bruised Tyronius Chunder surrendered.
Clear us a path to the tree. We'll maintain some light fighting to give the illusion of struggle between us, but I'll retreat the majority of forces beyond the walls. You lock this stadium down. No one follows us.
Frey paused before turning to leave Tyler. So last time we had the story time, didn't we? We had the
war stories.
The war stories, yes, the war stories. So it's been a while. We sort of landed on the three heroes, Brandy, Theo, and Kenny, approaching the Pokemon League in the final part of the final war story. So, to make a logical leap, to make an assumption, you guys have travelled from the Conclave to the Pokemon League. My question to launch us into this is, Tom Dale, how have you and whoever you have brought with you for this, the final task, the epic final quest, how have you travelled from the church to the Pokemon League?
I think there's only one method of transport we could have used at that time. You know, in a pinch, the Bashmobile was out of juice.
Was it?
It was. And okay. It meant we had to turn to our old friend, Barnaby Timms and his gyrocopter.
Oh, my. Yep. Slow kick.
Barnaby Timms.
Yeah, and then as soon as we got in that gyrocopter, so it was shot down by a rocket. Whoa. What a shame.
No.
Ali, please describe how Barnaby Timms' gyrocopter was horrendously destroyed on the approach. Your question is finished now, Tom. Ali, please describe this assault on the gyrocopter.
Destroy his gyrocopter. We've barely seen it.
Tom, if you'd like, you can voice Barnaby Timms whilst this event is occurring.
Tell me, Theo, have you ever been in a gyrocopter before?
Let me out.
No.
Let me out.
Doors only open from the outside, Theo. A design of my own creation, which, we know, hopefully there's someone on the other side to let us out. I love my gyrocopter and its seven wings.
It was
go
at
on,
this point
77 wings
that Barnaby Timms realised that he only passed the theory test of his gyrocopter exam and had never actually flown one in the air.
What's this thing in the middle that's sort of turning and moving? Am I meant to hold that?
I don't think so, Barnaby. What are you doing?
We survived prison for this.
Barnaby pushed the joystick forward, assuming the gyrocopter would go forward.
Forward ho!
But instead, it just sort of leant forward continuously.
Whoa!
And flipped itself across Formia, flinging them wickedly through the air.
Oh my God.
This is where we're at. David, do you want to take us home? How did we land?
That's a really good question, Ali, and it's a good thing.
Maybe Barnaby Timms got control of his gyrocopter again.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to say that Kenny, in a quick thinking move, sent out Moustache to kind of act as like a big old cushion. We sort of all like bounced off that sort of scaly hide of that massive serpent. Except for Barnaby Timms, who disappeared into a lake and we might never see him ever again.
No, okay, Barnaby Timms canonically.
He's fine.
I thought I disappeared there for a second, Theo, but thank goodness I could feel your hatred of me pull me like a compass to your place.
I like this. Okay, so we've got a wrecked... this is all good. We've got a wrecked gyrocopter that has some kind of crashed into a hillside near the Pokemon League. We've got people who have been flung from it. So let's start establishing who's there. Kenny, what?
Kenny
what
is there, Stu, I can confirm.
Yeah, Kenny's
that.
There. But what surprises Kenny about Hannah's reaction to this crash?
Hannah's reaction to the crash was she.
I.
She.
I.
What she did was she sent out her one Pokemon that we've established she has, Chandelure.
Oh, it's evolved? That's
grabbed
great.
Onto evolved. It.
Nice.
Fantastic. Yeah, it evolved. And it landed on the Chandelure, but because Chandelure is a ghost, it couldn't die. So therefore, they just sort of bounced to safety.
Hannah bounced to safety.
Hannah bounced to safety off the Chandelure that, because it is a ghost, survived.
I'm just going to slightly interrogate the logic of that. So Hannah would have died, but Chandelure sold some of its non-soul to protect her. So Hannah is missing part of her soul from this point onwards. Is that
sort
of idea?
That's surprising.
That is surprising. Information gathered. Thank you. Thanks, Ali. Brandy, why are you suddenly impressed with Hedrol's documentation of the events that are unfolding?
I think because when we were flying through midair, spinning, worried for our lives, Brandy's been in this situation multiple times with Kenny and Theo. We've fallen through the sky. Brandy assumes that Moustache is going to help and does. But she assumed that watching Barnaby Timms, who was flailing around, crying, saying his last rites, Hedrold was spinning, but also writing shorthand notes about the crash, was very much on the job. Took a few photos from midair, got some lovely shots of the crash. It's like he evolved in his ability to be a journalist. And Brandy says, all those 1 month with Ulmer really paid off, huh, Hedrol?
Oh, right, yes. Reporter Ulmer. That was me. I did that. Care to comment, Brandy, on the crash that we've just experienced?
Well, that we're currently experiencing right now.
We've
landed pretty scared, but I think Moustache will be here to help. We are the heroes of Formula at all. If we die here, it would be very disappointing for everyone.
I see plot armor. Yes, very good. Very good.
What's amazing about these photos that Hedrol took is normally Hedrol's photos are blurry messes, but the fact that they were spinning at high velocity has actually turned them out to be perfectly
good
photos.
Yeah.
I see.
So he needs to be spinning at all times in order to take
He needs a gyroscopic
photos.
Camera. Theo, what theologically insensitive comment has General Phillips just made to you after the crash?
General Phillips has just in the crash, we have all been flung from this gyrocopter.
Indeed.
And Theo is sort of, it's sprawled, but it's a somewhat, you could confuse it for looking somewhat supine.
Okay.
And General Phillips comes up and goes, hey, baby, I didn't realise a slaking was here.
Wow.
Right after the crash.
Could be dead. Could be a dead body.
You're loafing around here, Theo? What's going on?
You know what, General Phillips? I don't know you very well, and I don't know how much you know about church theology. Sorry, just coughing a lung out, literally. I'm sure you aren't aware that that's kind of an irreligious figure in my faith, so I'm gonna let you have that one. But if you say it again,
oh no! I think I might have just activated my own toxic orb there, baby. Whoops! Oh,
I sure know that you have guts, General Phillips.
Better not be using facade, am I right? Okay, all right. I'm gonna step away from this situation.
Wow, there's one character on this trip I don't fancy. Wow, that's
Wait, do you fancy me though?
I do.
Theo, I'm so honoured. You fancy me, Barnaby Timms as well?
I'll flan with anybody, baby. That's me. Okay, so we've sort of heard how Hannah was protected from the crash by a Pokemon. But how do you think you guys, main characters, how are your Pokemon helping out either post-crash or during the crash to make sure everyone is fairly safe? I'm not taking any harm for this crash. Barnaby Timms deserved it. He's the one who put us into this situation. I'm not going to punish you for that. So how are your Pokemon helping you out?
Well, it sounds like more like I need to help my Pokemon out if Gyarados cushioned all of our fall.
Oh, more Gyarados.
Kenny is massaging Gyarados, easing some of those muscles.
You're so tense.
I'm so tense.
I've not taken a course on this. You're so nutty. I didn't know fish could have nuts.
I'm a Gyarados.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. I feel the tension as well. It's been a tense time, Moustache. And you know what? I miss the time when we just sit and paint, just you and me. We'll do that again. We'll do that again sometime, I promise.
Dr. Bunnelby is giving some sort of quickfire therapy to anyone to try and basically just put a plaster over any emotional damage that the crash may have.
Bunnelby, 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 Bunnelby.
Do you know what? Sometimes crashing's exhilarating
Bunnelby,
had a great life experience. Don't
Bunnelby,
think about
Bunnelby,
it too
Bunnelby,
much,
Bunnelby.
You know? That's the best
Bunnelby,
advice
Bunnelby.
I can give.
Bunnelby, Bunnelby.
Cabbage the Kabuto is fixing everybody's hair.
Okay, we're sitting out, we're camping out next to the flaming wreckage of this gyrocopter. It's keeping everyone warm, and it mixes in with the flaming landscape of the
we
rest.
We just don't even douse the flames. flames.
No, no, God,
this thing is alive.
Oh, no, it's like, total.
That's probably not going to explode. You know what? Anyone got any marshmallows?
Barnaby's just looking, going like, I'm in so much trouble.
Barnaby tried to put it out and Theo set it on fire again.
Theo just willow wisped around it over and over again.
Oh, if only Wallace was here.
If only Wallace was here, am I right?
Quick question. Can we just also describe, as this is the beginning of the final arc, just an outfit check?
Anyone's not you three is going to be in a special defender outfit. It's like a, it's a uniform.
Well, I was thinking, so Brandy's going to be in churchy paladin-y armor because we've just come from the church. So they had some cool breastplate, plate mail on the arms, on her trousers, just again, longer tights, chained tights or something. It's very cool. Suddenly the new merch has come out. So it's like, it used to have a picture of intangible O that you didn't know, but now it's got sort of a picture of Theo that's like, plastered on.
Where's the Destiny Bond lantern? Is it visible?
I think it is tucked away. Like, I still think she's got her backpack and wouldn't want to show that to Theo in case Theo understood sort of what it was.
Okay.
I'm going to say that I feel like now is the time to announce that there are robes for being the O. This is that nobody's ever seen them before because the O just didn't really ever appear.
Cool.
And actually, there actually weren't ever robes, but in the about 24 hours that they had, Theo commissioned the atelier at the church to design robes and then pretend that they've always existed.
The obes.
The obes!
Oh, well, that's Ali, good. That's good stuff. That's why we bring stuff. You along.
And I say, why do you bring me along? Barnaby Timms.
Anyway, so the robes are... the robes are sort of like a long, sort of like white... You know, like when like Narendra Modi does a speech, like the leader of India, and it's sort of like a long Indian style suit with like a long jacket and like long trousers, all white, flowing, but tailored.
Oh, it just sounds so impractical for a sort of general. Like, it's really gathers at the feet when you're trying to run.
Or like we've just scudded across a hill. It's already smeared in mud, literally already covered in burn marks. But originally it was a crisp cream, long sort of South Asian style tailored suit with a gold bandolier, two gold cross bandoliers across the chest.
Oh, cool.
Beautiful. Very cool. Very cool. Kenny, what are you rocking?
I can
what are you
only apologise if anyone can hear the dog in the background. Kenny,
sorry about my rock rough there.
Does
Kenny.
Does anyone want to have a pooch hyena? I'll just give you a pooch hyena to explain the ambient noise. Who wants one? I've got it. I've got it right here.
Theo, you were missing a Pokemon. This is probably as good as Togekiss, right? Here, have a pooch hyena.
Pooch. Oh, you should.
Add
not
it to the
have.
Team, David. Add it to the team.
One pooch hyena.
Kenny went up to, of all people, Juliet, and said, right, Juliet, people have told me that my fashion choices in the past are, quote,
this is like the second
unique.
Scene that I've gotten post when I thought my story was over. This is amazing.
We keep bringing you back. You created weapons. Don't think that you're not going to be significant. I want you to make me a suit to help my poker powers. Because previously I had taken inspiration from my Pokemon, but I want you to help me take inspiration from my Poke powers.
Ooh, okay. So we're going superhero suit. We're doing it.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, it's final arc.
Full cape? Are we going cape? Just to annoy Brandy.
I wasn't
going to
go cape, but I feel like we should go cape for Brandy. It's Cresselia inspired.
Please tell me it's a big moon head. It's a giant moon head with your face in the middle of the moon.
No, I think it's got... Cresselia's got like moons going from what would be shoulder to would be wrist, right? I feel like it's got that.
They're like Saturn's circles.
That can be the cape equivalent. So it's not quite an Infern cape.
It's very Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, and then pink, purples, bit of gold, bit of black. And I think in the middle on Kenny's chest is just the crescent moon.
And Theo's face.
Well, that's on the back, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously. On everyone's clothes, it's got Theo's.
Because everything Juliet creates as part of Theo's new rule of the church.
It's church merch.
Exactly. Yeah. It has to have Theo's face on it, yes.
Yeah, which Theo instated again in the space of the 24 hours that they were owed the church.
So this is everyone's outfits. Everyone else is in Special Defender uniforms, which are, I guess, also bespoke. General Phillips' face with all the Special Defenders around the edge.
It's feeling to me quite Roman. The O's, like in quite sort of a cream South Asian, and Brandy, I guess hers would be kind of golden white. I think maybe everyone else has got a sort of their own take on that style. And then Kenny is just so out there.
And Kenny's gone... Pure sci-fi. Rocket hands. And they've got rocket. Did I mention rocket hands?
I kind of love it. I kind of love Kenny being this sort of outlier. I completely missed the brief on.
So everyone else is in quite period pieces.
Yeah, almost medieval.
Centurion. Is that what you were going for? Like Roman centurions?
Yeah, kind of centurion style,
okay,
thing. Like
sure,
soldiers,
sure.
Basically.
I'll take it, Tom. I'll take that.
The reverse of what Kenny's gone for.
Some mail, some sandals.
Sandals, yeah.
Okay, great.
Kenny looks around and goes, oh, robes.
Guys, I really don't, I don't want to complain at all, but this doesn't fit me at all. This chainmail is chafing me everywhere in these plates. I mean, is this a shoulder plate or is this my helmet? I don't even know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hannah. I just tried to do one nice thing for you. Protect the 10-year-old who's about to go into battle. But you know what? Take it off, then. Take
Wait,
it off.
Wait, did you make this, Brandy?
Well, look, I was consulted. I was consulted.
in what capacity?
In a capacity of they said, what do you think people should wear? And I said, these people are about to go to war. What do you think, you idiot? So obviously they've given us all armour.
I feel like this is kind of the equivalent of like spitting in your burger when you're rude at the fast food restaurant. You know, I think maybe you might have tipped the scales a little bit here, Brandy.
I think someone's misdesigned on you, Brandy. That's a shame. I would never have done that if you'd come to Barnaby Tim's.
I was going to say, Barnaby, where's your wardrobe? Where is it? I mean, obviously, we would have taken something from there if it had been there, just like after that whole frenzy plant thing. But what's happened,
Danny? I can't talk about the wardrobe. The wardrobe was missing, and that's why I traded it for a gyrocopter, and now the gyrocopter's gone, and now Mummy is going to be so upset. I don't know if I can go to war, everyone.
Oh, stay here then. Stay right here with your precious gyrocopter.
Kenny, you're so kind.
That obviously wasn't Kenny. It's me, Heron. Why are you getting me confused with Kenny?
It's hard to see through the tears.
Heron is the only one who's also in a superhero costume. That's the problem.
Yes, I went so futuristic. Me and Kenny have had a, I guess, we're now a duo. Sorry, Theo.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see. I don't need anyone. I've got...
Theo. Barnaby, Zanzibar, Elios, Timms.
At least I've got Bash.
Theo, I've kind of figured out my role, and it's sort of talking to people now in a professional sense. So do you want me to fire Barnaby Timms for you, Theo? Because maybe I could do that. Maybe I could lay off Barnaby Timms. Is that my role?
Bathsheba Falutin. I would love you to do that.
Okay. Listen, Barnaby, your services
yes?
have been so appreciated here.
Oh, I know. It's hard. The team are very coy with their compliments,
you can do this, Bash.
But I can see in their eyes.
Compliment sandwich.
And you look great. Look at you.
Bash, can I tell you that that's a real compliment because my parents kicked me out the other day and I've got nowhere else to go. And
oh boy.
This
oh
mission
boy.
Really gave me a purpose. Because otherwise,
stick
it might have
the
been...
landing, Bash.
Help me, Theo.
Stick
Theo, just give me something. Ooh. Give me something.
You've done the first compliment, so now tell them that they're awful at their job and then finish
okay.
with another compliment.
Right, so what you did, Barnaby, was you crashed the gyrocopter and we almost died. And we
My
all
dad
nearly...
trained me in the gyrocopter, but...
That's
when
nice.
He asked, when he kicked me out because he didn't want me to watch him die through his crippling illness, I guess I forgot everything. I panicked. I'm sorry, Bash. It
okay.
won't happen again in the heart of war. I'm ready. I have nothing else really to live for except for this moment with my friends, my best friends.
Bash, I beg of you, just come on. Just really stick the knife in. Go.
I can't do it. Barnaby Timms, welcome aboard. Welcome
Thank
aboard.
Thank you so much, Bash. And let's go,
I'm sorry,
and Barnaby.
I'm sorry.
Barnaby.
I'm so sorry.
I want you to know,
you had
Bash,
one job. One job.
I don't like throwing my weight around very much. I'm always known as the most humble member of the team. But Bash, I am the leader of the Church of Sloking. And when I tell you that there is a special place in the afterlife for people who can't fire gyrocopter pilot incompetence...
A very, very specific place in the afterlife.
It's so specific, and it'll just be you in a room of people who are like the worst version of your brother. A version I don't know because he's my best friend, although apparently he's no longer my best friend, but he used to be my best friend. I'm feeling a lot of complicated emotions. I think I'd rather just go to war.
Hedrod, stop quoting this. Why are you recording this?
Never miss an opportunity. New headline. Theo can speak.
Did you not realise I could speak, but I threatened your life in the prison?
So who is here?
It sounds like everyone. It sounds like everyone's here.
A lot of voices have been tossed around. So who have we got, for sure, from what we've established? We've got General Phillips, we've got Hannah, we've got Bash, we've got Heron, We've got Hedrold. We've got Barnaby Timms. Ah, this is too many already, isn't it? This is many people.
So basically, we've got the crack squad of NPCs, and notably not Adri.
Or Asta.
Asta. Yeah, the two probably most useful people.
And we don't have Asta. Okay, where's Asta then? What's Asta stay behind to do?
Would Asta stay with Andros is the question.
That is a good shout.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
Healing Andros. And I wonder if Adri Fomansk is still at the church because Theo kind of put them in charge in their absence, just as a sort of...
Yeah, that makes
more
sense.
That's kind of my energy. Yeah, but Adri is kind of...
The Council of 13 and Adri at the sort of head of that table. Now, David, I was going to ask as well about this, about the church and about this, this still unresolved... You left it with the council, this idea that some people who lost their poker powers might be able to return some of those powers should they choose to. Are you willing to leave that as a sort of Deus Ex Sloking, you'll see me on the fourth day, should we need it, Gandalf suddenly appears, or is there anything you want to establish there? Or are you just like, you left it with Adri and the council and you've left and you don't want to know?
I think it's Deus Ex Machina territory now. It's okay. If we all roll ones for the entire final battle, we all know what to pull out.
I see. Yeah. Great. So we've got Special Defenders. Asta is not there. Adri is not there. Is that everyone? Is there anyone we're missing that we care about?
Well, there's some people that aren't missing that we don't care about. So I think we've got everyone.
Well, then the question is, team Special Defenders, Sir Floatsauce, you're here. You're just outside the Pokemon League. However, this is a Pokemon League that, as we know from the War Stories episode, at least from the outside, is heavily locked down. This is not an easy place to penetrate. All of the Pokemon League forces that were not engaged with small skirmishes with Team Mystic on the outside, which we know, although your characters don't know, are somewhat for show. These skirmishes are happening around the outside of the Pokemon League, but you can see, even where you are, amongst the wreckage of your crashed gyrocopter, the Pokemon League itself is completely locked down. Any breaches in the wall have been filled by Extreme Ball Pokemon. The gates are shut, blast doors closed, guards posted in the stations. In the sky, you can see the Skarmory Rainbow Squadron circling overhead. It looks pretty tight. Security looks like they have stepped up since the Mystic breach. My question to you is, how are we going to get in?
Like, seeing as Bash and Heron for a time were the, like, faces of the League, the New Hope, maybe they might have a purpose in being here that it was tactical. They might have some sort of, like, they know a secret entrance.
I was thinking the same with, like, General Phillips, who used to be the head of defence at the League. Like, help as well. Like, those three.
Yeah, baby, that's why you brought me along. Okay, guys, what do you want to know? I could tell you anything. Oh, looks like the League is pretty locked down tight. That's not good. That's bad for us. Means we can't walk in the door, which was my first plan.
That was your plan when you were head of defence? Did you not think the League would have to do anything? Like, when you were defending the League... No.
We never really faced many threats, so I didn't really think about it all that much. I mostly just spent my time destroying chairs. That was pretty much the entirety of my tenure.
General Phillips.
My friend.
Take yourself back.
Okay.
Take yourself back.
Rewind.
Let's go back in time, shall we? Okay. You're at your desk.
I'm at my desk.
You're at your desk.
I'm not sitting.
It's a
standing desk, no.
A standing desk.
Right. Okay, here I am. I'm in my room.
Someone comes in the door.
So a nice mental exercise.
Knock, knock.
Oh, hello, who's there? Come on in. Are they attractive? That's the question. Because I have a different welcome if they're attractive than if they're not, you know.
Is this what I sound like the rest of the time?
Hello, General Phillips. It's me, a very attractive person. I have just come in with some bad news.
Wait, go back. All right, let me just play some music. Yeah, come on in.
I'm just going to groove my way in, as is your right. This is your office. I have some bad news. Oh, the Pokemon League's under attack. What's the most likely place for them to enter?
Maybe they're using HMs.
HMs.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Hello, General Phillips. It's me, your other employee, not that attractive.
Oh, hello.
Oh, it's just a normal hello. Okay, good.
Right. Yeah.
No, just mainly wanted to see what you'd do with a non-attractive... Me, Ted. Teddy boy.
What do you want?
You said you asked for the HMs, did you?
Yeah, I think so.
Which HMs have
absolutely.
You got?
Absolutely. All of them. I got every one.
You've
HMO2.
Got all of the HMs.
Which one's HMO2? I'm asking you, Ted.
That
which one is it?
Be Fly, because I know my job.
All right, fair enough. Attractive. What's HMO4?
Oh no. All smile. Beating, no brains.
Smile.
That smile though.
Smile.
Oh, you got me. All right.
The old hidden machine.
Hidden
you
power.
Can't beat a good smile. You it's can't beat a good smile. Oh.
It's strength, but okay.
I'll yeah, leave. Sure. Whatever. All right.
Brandy,
Ted.
You're so good at voices.
Wait, what? Yeah, I do like doing voices.
Me thinking about HMs, I mean, A, it's just very nostalgic, but also it's actually making me think about the fact that I've got some HMs on me. I'm out of the Mind Palace. I'm getting out. Ooh, dissolve.
Phillips,
the office is gone.
Sorry.
Tell us how to get into this bloody league.
I've got some HMs, baby. I've got 1 through 9. Okay, I've got them all
there
on my
nine
person.
There are HMs?
I think so. Well, if there's not, we're going to make one up right now.
HMO9 phase through walls.
Yeah.
Change generation. Yeah, now I've got all the HMs, baby. Always carrying with me in a little floppy disk case. Okay, here we go. I'm going to list them now, right? We've got Cut, Fly, Surf, Strength, Flash, Whirlpool, Waterfall, Rock Smash, Dive, Rock Climb, and Defog, apparently. Generation 4 had a lot of fog, and they needed a move to make you get rid of the fog, apparently. So, I guess, listen, I mean, the Pokemon League, it's an impenetrable fortress. But if anything's going to get us in there, it's me and my collection of HMs. That's what it is.
Mm. Oh, I see. So you collected all the HMs.
I did.
Because you knew that the only way to get in would be with HMs.
Right. When they fired me, I took the HMs.
Mm. Ah.
From the noodle fridge.
Yeah. Some people take a pen. You take priceless items.
The thing is, mate, they're all on old CD drives. And the Pokemon League is updated to be completely without
HM
input.
HM3, apparently.
It's HM3
digital,
free now.
Completely
that's the
digital.
Thing. Yeah, they've all gone digital. They're all doing, like, ride Pokemon and stuff. It's weird. So I'm old school. I like my HMs. And look, they're going to come in handy right now. Yeah, they're going to lock up a move slot on your Pokemon. You're going to be unhappy about it. I'm sorry. But it's necessary, all right? From this point on,
Theo,
one of
still
you...
still got that slow poke.
One of you's going to need to use Flash.
Thank God we've got that Poochyena that can be our HM slow.
Oh, my God, that's Poochyena. We all turn and look at this Poochyena.
I hope you're ready for 4 floppy disks, Poochyena.
You don't know it, but that Poochyena has got 4 incredible egg moves that you're going to delete. Okay. Basically, General Phillips is going to lay out these HMs, and you guys are going to concoct a plot based on these HMs to get into the Pokemon League.
Okay, so we all get 1 each, and
yeah.
We all have to use them, and we all use them in one great heist.
I think so. I think it's.
I love this idea.
I think we all stick together, but we get in.
Yeah, it's Ocean's 9 or whatever with the HMs, and everyone's got their. So I'm going to leave you guys. I'm going to go get a glass of water, actually, and you guys start concocting your ultimate heist.
Okay, well, what we have established about the Pokemon League, it was sort of Oxford-Cambridge vibes, right? So there is water.
Yeah.
I like to imagine there's, like, canals throughout the Pokemon League.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we also established, technically in War Stories, although none of us know, that there are, like, the under channels that allowed Tyrone's Chunder and the others to get in. So if they're, like, water underground systems as well.
What have we got? So we've got... Can we get the list up again?
The list is Cut, Fly. I'll put them in the chat.
Well, I think Fly, surely we've got to get there.
Don't forget the Skarmory's.
The Skarmory's. Oh, yeah, why didn't we just get here in the Skarmory's?
No, because they're at the league.
Because Tom got to decide.
As the gyrocopter was calling, I would say, as Ali says, first thing we've got to do is fly. So if we're going to fly, our first port of call is to get past the Skarmory's. How are we going to do that? I reckon we fly and we could...
Use Flash? Use Flash to distract them.
Yeah, we use Flash to distract the Skarmory's. We then land...
On, like, one of the canals and then
yes.
Surf.
Okay, exactly. So we then sort of surf on the sort
This
of
is
main
all
highway.
If every stage goes right.
Yeah, exactly.
This is all, like, this is ideal.
No,
like,
no, Stu, okay. This is what's happening, mate. We've taken the keys. Get in the back seats, Stu.
Last time you drived, you crashed into a hillside, so forgive me for being a little sceptical.
Drove, Stu, the word is drove.
I think it's drift. I think it's actually drift. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's drive.
Is that the Poochyena?
Yeah. So that Poochyena is learning all 9 of these moves.
And also basic English.
We're surfing on the canal, but uh-oh, a dead end. Maybe then we dive?
I was thinking we're going to do some rolls at intervals here. So do you want to do like a first stage, see how that goes, and then work out the second
stage?
Yeah,
we've got to use 3 per stage.
3 per stage. Okay, I like that. Fly, Flash.
And Surf.
Surf.
Yeah, Fly, Flash and Surf.
Just to clarify, the plan is you're going to fly on a Poochyena.
Yeah,
gonna people
fly.
Are going to fly on a Poochyena. Yeah.
It's learning all 9.
I think you've attached 77 gyrocopter wings to the pooch hyena in order for it to learn fly. Yep.
Oh my God, what other gizmos have we attached?
Pooch, pooch hyena, pooch.
This is giving me big Shine from Team...
Yeah, big Shine.
Vibes.
Yes, yeah. Shine somewhere is like, respect. Respect to you guys. This is incredible.
Life jackets on each foot for surf.
Yep, I love it. Well, let's do the first three. We've done the first three.
So you're going to fly into the air, try and get past the Skarmory Squadron, and then by flashing them, and then you're going to land in a canal somewhere in the Pokemon League that's going to take you deeper. Yeah. Is that the idea? Okay. Yeah. Who would like to roll for this first selection of movesets?
I am happy to. I'm happy to do the first one.
Okay. So this is Brandy rolling for Fly, Flash, and Surf. I'm going to say that is that's pretty cool. It's a cool roll. You got your flying, your flashing, your surfing. It's pretty cool.
Well, Brandy is plus two in cool.
Ooh.
And she rolled a six that's and a good. Five plus a two. Oh. So that's
dang.
A 13.
Oh, Brandy.
It's a good start.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Brandy, describe for us, or Tom, whoever you feel like voicing in this moment, describe for us this first stage and how well it goes.
Well, I prefer to voice this one, Stu. Oh.
Hedrol comes in. Barnaby, would you like to document this? Would you like to narrate as it's happening exactly how this is going down?
We've tied all 77 gyrocopter wings to this pooch hyena, and we are now flying through the air.
This doesn't feel safe. This doesn't feel safe.
This pooch hyena is super strong. It's like level 100. Theo's rolling their eyes constantly and giving me a sort of slitting throat vibe. Yes, I too am looking forward to slitting the throats of our enemies, Theo. And as we're approaching now, and the pooch hyena has opened its eyes really wide and is flashing them. Oh, so General Phillips is also flashing them. General Phillips, that is word.
Oh, just assisting.
I have misinterpreted the plan.
I thought this was the plan. Why is nobody else doing this?
The Scarfers are flying off, I assume, to the nearest HR department. Yep, they're off. Great. Now we can finally land onto this canal water and... Puchiena's inflating. I thought we had the inflatable devices on us, but no, the Puchiena himself is inflating. We're all holding onto his little tail.
This
it's
is
really
how it works.
Cute. It's super cute, Hedrol. Take a picture.
Of course.
Oh, aren't we in a very, very serious war?
It's like this little window in between all the death and destruction of an inflatable pooch hyena raft that everyone is on, just having a great time.
Kenny's just giggling, and I'm here for it.
If I was to score this section, Tom, what sort of music would be going under this particular phase of the plan?
It's very, I think, Great Escapee, but more comedy.
Wallace and Gromit.
Yes.
Great. So we're getting a nice sort of Aardman animation, classic heist. It's a chicken run heist. Okay.
We look to the side of the canal and there's like someone missing an arm. Like, this is the worst day of my life. And we're
we just float past. Top of the morning to you.
Hope your arm's okay.
Okay. What's the crew notice as you're floating by and you're like, this has gone amazingly well. This is incredible. What really unsettling thing do you notice as you're drifting through the canal?
We see completely derelict Ursaring Udon.
Ooh,
it is smashed to smithereens. The place where we decided we're going to team up, we're going to save Formia is done.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. You see Ursaring Udon, and indeed, as an extension, the rest of the Pokemon League, where you once stood all that time back in Foul Play, a place bustling with people, frantic with energy, excited about the future, excited about who might become champion, excited about things that now seem utterly meaningless. And everything is completely destroyed, either in flame or shattered windows, broken rubble. The music cuts out. It's like that part in Mulan.
As we're floating, the pooch hyena deflates.
Who's that Pokemon?
Pooch!
Tom, how dirty is the pool before I actually get started on the...
Do you want... the real answer, or do you want the pool boys' guarantee answer?
Let me just consult the union. Hang on, boys, pool boys, gather in.
Hi, yep.
All right,
hello. Okay, that's the three of us.
Hello.
The triumvirate has assembled. Fantastic. Pool boys unite. Mm. Say it with me. Pool boys are for one.
Pool boys unite. Pool boys for swimming.
Get in the pool.
It's a bit strange because
I've jumped in the pool. You told me to get in.
Oh no!
Oh wow, it's so dirty in here.
quick.
Oh, my
quick.
Skin is corroding.
What did you dump in there?
Okay, now, it's illegal in many countries. I thought this wouldn't happen. Oh, no. I think the only way we're going to do this is with an old-fashioned cover-up. You ready, pool boys? What we've got to do is we've got to cover this murder up with a midsection.
Oh, he's dead. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he died.
Yep.
This escalated quickly.
Do you know what? I guess I check out of the midsection. See you guys.
Oh, wait, maybe I jump in too and die. Oh, no. Oh.
Okay, now we've got a double murder to cover up here.
David, let's face it, it's not that different to normal, is it?
Hey, how dare you? And as soon as they touched that water, they were ghosts. Like, they're ghosts. Luckily, I can see their ghosts floating up and still able to communicate with us. Thank goodness.
Get the Ouija board out and we'll get through this.
Let's get this midsection to cover up the murder of our two pool boys from the union. Okay.
Strike.
Strike, the strike is on.
It's hard to have a strike if there's only one person
it's
left.
Only one guy.
NPC idea. This is from champion tier listener Christy. Thank you very much, Christy. They describe themselves as a frothing at the mouth fan, which is rabid energy, and I like it.
Did they get bitten by a ratata recently? Do they need to look into that?
I don't know, but they've asked me to tell David that he has the voice of a velvet angel.
Guys.
You can put that on in quote marks and then put that on anything you ever try and sell in the future. Christy won't be listening to this anytime soon as they are only up to Sky Attack. But here we go. Her name is Clement Lime. She's in her early 20s and has vibrant red hair. May or may not be related to the red-haired trainer who lost to Chitin?
Chitin.
Chitin.
The
Chitin.
Gym leader. Okay, all right,
Chitin.
Come on.
You faced one Chitin. Gym leader.
You beat that gym leader, Tom.
Okay, well, all I'm saying, the spelling on this was C-H-I-T-I-N.
Yes, because Christy
which
understood
is exactly
the pun.
How you spell chitin.
Yeah.
What?
That's how you spell, like, chitinous armour.
Yeah. Thanks, Ellie.
Wait, that's a pun?
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, my God, you guys, come on.
He's a bug gym leader.
I just thought it was coming from the same etymological pool as Blarb, Farb, and Tyrannius Chunder.
Yeah. Sorry, Stu. I genuinely thought the point of that character was literally just you going, doing the laugh. I thought the laugh was the pun.
I can't believe I'm agreeing with Tom Dale. It's a day I never thought I'd see happen.
Clement Lime has bright golden eyes and exclusively wears overalls and a bomber jacket. She's a travelling saleswoman who seems to just magically appear out of nowhere, sort of like the Beedle from Breath of the Wild. You'll just look over your shoulder and, oh, there she is. She appears carrying an overly large satchel that seems to have whatever someone most needs at the time. Could be anything. Could be a pair of socks, a cool hat, a potion, a master book. Is that the holiday photo of Brandy and Gary? How did that get in there? She doesn't take money for whatever is in her bag, instead trading what she has for something that you have that you consider just as nice or important. Her Pokemon partner is Giggly Chingling, who announces their sudden strange appearances with the ringing of her little bell. She calls her Chingling Cherry. Also, watch out. She flirts with everything and everyone. So Theo and Brandy, you're in for some fluffy compliments. If Kenny is 18 by the time this happens, then
what
he's
the hell,
in trouble
man?
Too, lol. Thank you again for taking
Kenny,
us on this.
Have you aged into it yet? Have you aged into the harassment?
Thank you again for taking us on this roller coaster of an adventure. Well, no, thank you, Christy. What a roller coaster that was. They finally sign off with, I have a lot to catch up on and I'm so excited. While at the same time dreading the end.
Oh,
yes, well,
what do you know, Christy?
You know the sad Pokemon theme tune is coming.
It sounds like we would have loved to have met this character during any of our sort of in-between bide episodes at any point.
Well, what I will say is there is a move in the Noble Player Handbook that we have called The Butler Did It, which is a sort of similar vibe to what Clement Lime can do, which is where a butler can produce an item that you really need. So I wonder if Clement Lime is also some kind of rogue butler, perhaps from a noble family.
Love that.
Any noble families?
Oh, God, no,
people
I see
want?
What Tom's just done. I see what he's just done.
I'm just to pluck one at random, I wonder if the Tim's family butler has gone rogue.
Okay, but why would Clement Lime do this? Why would Clement Lime betray the Tim's family that she served so well for so many years?
I mean, look at them. I mean, listen to them.
Wouldn't you
be in their presence for 5 minutes?
Just called workers' rights. Just called having ears.
This holiday photo of Brandy and Gary you mentioned, does she have a relationship with Brandy?
Well, I'm wondering if it's more a sort of like a Pokemon is being the cause of this ability.
Oh, it's like a sort of My Hero Academia, Yao Yamrozu, can create anything from within the satchel.
Maybe it's a Solgaleo in there.
I was going to go with Delibird, the significant...
Wait, Tom, is that a known Solgaleo ability?
No.
Do you know where I think you're going with that? It's like that whole get in the bag, Nebby.
Nebby was fully in the bag is what I was thinking.
So what was that, a Cosmog?
Yeah, Cosmog. Yeah.
So a Cosmog.
Maybe it's a Cosmog and a Delibird working in tandem, and when the Cosmog's got no idea, Cosmog turns to Delibird's like, can you give us a present? And then Delibird's like, we know it could be a bomb, but sure.
Or she's painted the Chingling. She's painted the Cosmog to look like a Chingling. And that's why he's giggling. He's always giggling. I'm a Cosmog, and nobody else knows.
Oh, that's fun.
No one can tell.
Like a little bell to the Cosmog.
The other question this raises, which is not a question being raised by Clementine, but simply by us, as is convention at this stage, is that Delibirds, there's no Christmas in Formia. It's Christymas. So would Formian Delibird look
like Panda Claws?
Even though Panda Claws is a pack, but would it be like a panda themed Delibird?
Yep. Although I still think it is a bird. It is a bird, but it's like it's trying to wear like a panda skin.
Ooh.
Not literally, because otherwise that is grotesque.
Are Delibirds getting arrested because they look like old school burglars? They're just looking sort of.
Well, maybe that's what Formian Delibirds do. They don't give, they take.
Whoa.
They steal. They're bandits.
So Cosmog gives and creates, whereas Delibird takes. Maybe Clementine is in debt to the Delibird. Maybe she asked for her freedom from the Timms family, and the price was to become the butler to the Delibird.
What?
That's the only logical conclusion.
I have a counter suggestion. In the Christmas special, the Grinch. in the Christmas special. The Grinch stole all the Delibirds from Panda Claws.
Oh.
There's something there. Maybe this person was like sort of working with or against the Grinch in some form.
Did Clementine flirt with the Grinch and the Grinch got uncomfortable?
Well, yes, this is a character trait of
Clementine.
How
does the Grinch feel about that, Ali? Would he be approaching HR if Clementine was like, you know, part of the Delibird plot? And suddenly starts making comments about his wispy green hair and how it curls in just the right way.
That would explain why she wasn't in the Christmas special. He just fired her. One of the Delibirds. Christmas Eve, he fired her.
That's not very Christmassy, Grinch.
Exactly.
If I'm following this correctly, Clementine used to work for the Timms family before trading for her freedom with the Grinch.
Agreed to help the Grinch in his Delibird plot.
And then got fired by the Grinch for general misconduct, harassment. She got fired, but so in revenge, she took a Delibird from the Grinch. And now the two are sort of using this weird, I'll give you what you want if I get something in return. It works. It all tracks. It all tracks with Clementine as just a terribly, terribly inappropriate character for the podcast.
Wow, we've really made a sow's ear out of that silk purse, haven't we?
David's still defending Christy after being called a velvet angel, I see.
Even in the afterlife, I have to do my job.
2 minutes, 2 minutes. Do you know what? I'm jumping in the pool because I just need 2 minutes. Hang on.
Oh, and that's him gone as well.
That's our final union member, Tom. So
I thought that was the customer. So I'm very confused as to whose pool I now have to clean.
Could you tell us about Patreon stuff and being a champion and any of that jazz?
Nah, they know it.
At this stage of the game.
Come on, they all know. But if they do
I know? I'm a ghost.
If they do want to really subscribe to the Patreon at the champion tier and they can submit a character.
Just go on our website and see what it says. Patreon.com/criticalditto.
Go on our website and see where we're at with the Patreon. But thank you, Christy, for that great character.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Poochyena.
Okay, who's going to take the next part of the plan? Who's going to take the next phase? See if it goes quite as smoothly.
As we're in the water, we've got to use like Whirlpool, Waterfall or Dive at this point, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more than 9 HMs all in total, so I guess we just pick what 9 we want to use, right?
I wonder if we see an obstacle, Carvana or something.
An extreme ball Carvana.
They're sort of circling around, so we've got to sort of whirlpool our way out.
Can I just ask, do we know where we're headed?
I guess surely we're trying to get to the Sephiroth tree, aren't we? Like, fundamentally.
Yeah, that's definitely the overall goal. Yeah. I guess it's just like, because currently the league is just like a big shell.
We know it was in the ruins, right? Like, so I guess that we have that degree of information.
General Phillips is sort of guiding you in the general direction of the ruins. but without knowing exactly where to go.
Yeah, because I guess muscle memory after a war wouldn't really help very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if everything's wrecked.
Yeah.
But I like that. Tom, could it be that like Wimpy remembers their first fight?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. So
against the Carvana.
So Lopunny does a little whirlpool with their ears, throws the Puccina around to create a whirlpool.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. But that's the first HM we're going to use to get past this obstacle. What can we use next?
Maybe there's some wreckage that is blocking the water in full unless we dive, and that allows us to... It looks like we're hitting a dead end. We can see there's like a underwater...
cavey thing.
Oh, that's quite fun. The sort of water continues, but it's not big enough for all of us, so then we have to sort of rock smash through the cave in order to continue progressing.
Yep.
Whirlpool, dive, rock smash.
Sure. Okay, who is taking responsibility for this section of the plan?
I'll do it. I don't mind.
Okay, Kenny. For this one, this feels a little bit more athletic, so roll tough.
That is a minus one for Ken Boy. It's not gone well, guys.
Oh, no.
That is a total of a four.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay, so what happens is you progress through the first part fundamentally very well. The whirlpool encounter with the Carvana. The Carvana, there's actually a few Carvanas, and it threatens to be a nasty encounter. But no, because Wimpy the Lopunny knows how to deal with Carvanas, and that's to trap them in a whirlpool and pound them as they go around.
Lope!
Each one destroyed, dispatched. Episode 3, Wimpy wouldn't even dream of. And you dive down into that whirlpool, allowing it to suck you down, swooshing, swirling you around, filling every orifice with water. All these beautiful clothes that you described to me earlier are now sodden, drenched, and destroyed as you emerge.
We sink with our plate mail.
And that's it.
Hannah is really stuck. An anchor.
Luckily, Mustache the Gyarados is there to help everyone along underwater.
Yet again.
Why didn't you teach me surf? Surf's a great move, as is waterfall.
I was prepared.
This is so dumb.
I was prepared. Puccina is on the side of this cave, like drenched, like the dog, super wet dog, breathing really heavily. Puccina, I know.
But you all emerge in this underwater cavern, breathing, sobbing, gasping. Dragging yourself onto the mud and dry land that makes up this small beach-esque area underneath the cave. And you see some rocks. You know the plan? It's that you're going to smash through it. Puccina prepares themselves.
Poochie, yeah, so I'm punching a rock. Is that right, Poochie? You're going to hit a rock?
Punch the rock, Puccina.
There's nothing bad that's going to happen from you punching that rock.
And Puccina punches the rock. And Puccina looks at his paw like... That was not a rock smash rock at all. That was
gig.
And suddenly there's a Gigalith. Give me some more rock Pokemon. Who else emerges?
A golem.
A golem rolls. One of the boulders unfurls.
Golem.
David, give me another rock.
Can I go with Orthworm? It's steel, but it's...
Whoa, yeah, but I love it. Yeah, he's going to definitely be down here. David, as I'm less familiar with Orthworm, do you reckon you could voice him?
Okay. Orthworm.
Yeah. I'm scared.
And we back away slowly and we run into, like, a nest of Wigglets.
All the other special defenders could be dealing with the Wigglet swarm.
Wigglet.
All of them with glowing blue eyes, but they're not looking great, these extreme ball Pokemon. They're looking scary and threatening, but
yes,
like there's something that's not right about these extreme ball Pokemon now. Twitching, maybe there's one. Tom, give me one final rock Pokemon.
Lycanroc?
Okay, there is a Lycanroc, an extreme ball Lycanroc, and it is just on the floor, motionless.
Ooh. Oh, God. Its eyes are sort of still blue.
Its eyes are still blue, but like it is motionless somewhere. I'll let you guys explore that if you wish. But what is there is a Gigalith, a Golem, and an Orthworm. Our three heroes here, our Sufloatzels, are the ones who are going to have to deal with these main threats while everyone else tries to desperately fight back this horde of Wigglets that are also encroaching from the water behind you. What are you going to do?
Kenny, feeling a level of responsibility, is going to leap forward. The Gigalith was the first thing to move, right? Kenny is going to send out Bowtie. Quick, Bowtie! Attack it with a Leaf Blade.
Decidueye!
Gigalith is going to be coming back at this. Oh, he doesn't have flying type anymore, does he? No.
That's fine.
He's still going for a smackdown. He's going to go for a big smackdown with one of those Gigalith arms.
Fair enough.
Roll physical.
Yeah, it's a +3. And I rolled a 6 and a 3 for a total of a 12.
Damage-wise, you are going to be doing distinction-wise stage 3. So that's 3. Same evolution stage as the Gigalith, so no plus and minuses, but 3. It's super effective, obviously, so that's 4 plus your d4. 4 plus your d4, please, decidui. 4
plus a d4, which I rolled a 2 at, so 6 damage.
Oh, and the Gigalith has a harm capacity of 7, so it clings on! Oh, it clings on for another round. So, Ali, please describe this very brutal leaf blade, but one that the Gigalith just about survives. How does it cling on? What does this Gigalith use? Unless he's just got the sturdy ability. We just say, yes. Guess what? You've yes. got sturdy.
Decidueye goes to absolute town on this Gigalith. Like, blade, 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 blade. It's up against the wall.
I'm feeling like it's like those ropes you can do in the gym.
The battle ropes,
the power
yes.
Rope, the battle ropes.
But they're grassy. They're grassy battle ropes. Yeah. See? One-shotted this. What?
Gigalith. Okay, who's next? Who's coming in next?
I'll go in next.
Against the...
I'm going to go up against Golem.
Golem.
Thank God. That really helps me out. I'm so bad against rocks.
Just to clarify, guys, I'm sort of saying for this final arc, you have all 6 of your Pokemon with you, and my job cool. is to try and wear you down.
Oh, nice. Okay.
through a series of encounters enough. Such as this one. So, yes, of all your Pokemon team, Theo, who is here and who is facing that Golem?
Cabbage, come on out.
Yeah. Please, if this is a good roll, I think this is it. This is it. I feel it. I'm not preempting anything.
Please. David, you do have, like, what, one more luck point left before tragedy, so maybe just go for it.
I'm not going to give you a softball here. The Golem sees a rock type coming at him, and it's like, great, magnitude. And it's going to go with a nasty ground thing to take the ground out from underneath the Kabuto. How are you going to respond?
It's going to be a classic. It's going to be Aqua Jet.
Try to get in there first.
Absolutely. Priority moves.
Super duper effective.
Roll your plus physical and we'll see if it does indeed connect without taking damage. That would be great.
So 2d6.
2d6 plus 2.
So it's an 8 in total. 4 plus 2 plus a 2 for an 8.
We're doing damage to each other. The question
doing
is...
damage to each other.
Can Kabuto cling on?
No, it obviously won't. It never does. And that is the great tragedy.
Never does. So Golem is stage 3. Kabuto is stage... Surely it's at least a stage 2 by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, stage 2, got yeah. to be.
So let's do damage to the Golem first. So you are stage 2, it's 1 higher than you, so that's 1, but it's super effective on both counts, so that is a 3 plus your d4, Kabuto.
For 2.
It's not bad.
I'm so sorry to say that this Golem also has sturdy then, and it survives aww. On 1 HP.
Stu, can we somewhat retcon the sturdy and say it's the extreme ball determination to survive?
Oh, yeah, they'd actually be down, but they're sort of now like...
They're being forced past their... They should be down, but the extreme ball is forcing them to carry on. I love that, Ali. So, yes, unfortunately, this Golem is going to survive on 1, and the Golem is doing to you, so it's a stage 3, and it's 1 higher, so that's 4, and it's super effective, so that's 5 plus a d4.
Look at David's face.
Okay, so he's doing... he's only doing 1 on top of that. And Kabuto's harm capacity. How much armor did you give them?
+1.
Oh no, that means it's 4. Oh no.
Oh, bye, Kabuto.
Oh, Kabuto.
What a final arc for Kabuto. Here it is.
That was the last roll of the dice.
Unless David catches Kabuto in an extreme ball right now and forces them to fight on in a cruel twist. But no, as our system decrees, David, unfortunately, listen. Kabuto goes down in that fight.
Cabbage, you did a damn good job.
Kabuto. Once again, Bro Barracle in the back like, bro, I would have like smoked him so hard. Okay, so Kabuto desperately tries to go in and does get an Aqua Jet off, fires this watery blast, uses some of the water from behind, takes a couple of wiglets out with him actually in this... fires this blast at the Golem, but a Golem sodden, wet, some of the sand dripping out from between its rocky plated armor, pulls itself back together. Golem! And the extreme ball eyes grow wide, some of the veins on its face start to pulse as this poor creature is forced into firing this magnitude out, rips the ground out, and Kabuto goes flying up and hits one of the stalactites. We've been through this.
Yep. Cling tight to
on
the ceiling.
On the wall. And bosh, lands in a rocky, rubbly heat at Theo's feet. Kabuto. KO'd. Tom, we go over to you in the other round of in the other arena.
Brandy faced with
David, this
earthworm.
So it's the one that looks the most like a bug, and Brandy is not happy with it. And suddenly she remembers that I'm not the Brandy from the forest. I am now dressed as a gladiator, for goodness sake. I can take on a worm, a tiny little worm, crush
a
knife.
It's a big worm.
Go, Lightning McQueen! And Lightning McQueen is going out.
Cool.
Lightning McQueen, flame wheel, and Brandy's going to do the customary jump onto the back of Karkol, surf Karkol into the Earthworm.
Karkol is in his element. He's in the caves. It's just like the caves that he used to race through, and this is no different. So he knows how to accelerate. He knows what stones to bump off to get that little speed boost, and his wheels start to flick and flitter and flame as they dive towards the Earthworm. The Earthworm, who is going to hit Karkol with, I guess, some kind of steel move, right? So he's going to go for an Iron Tail.
I boosted just the speed of Karkol, so Karkol's physical attack is just plus one.
Okay, so you're going in with the Flame Wheel, Earthworm is going in with the Iron Tail. Let's see how this resolves. Roll plus attack, please, Lightning McQueen.
Four and a four for an eight, plus a one for a nine. So it's just a mixed success.
There is a slight problem in that our sheet doesn't account for Generation 9 Pokemon, so...
Give it the same stats as Onix.
Let's call it an Onix. Okay, so it's got six. It's got a harm capacity of six. It's the same as the Golem. Great.
These bloody rock types, they're so much armor.
Who knew rock types were good defensively?
So, the Earthworm is... So it's a stage 3. What's Karkol at, Tom?
Stage 2.
Okay, so Earthworm is at 3... plus one because it's higher, so four. Not super effective, so it's going to be four plus a d4 for the Earthworm, and that is going to be a one. So it does five damage to Lightning McQueen. Is that enough to take him out?
It is enough to take out Karkol.
He's got a light harm capacity of five. Oh, Karkol, yeah. I'm sorry. But does he take out the Earthworm? So you're at evolution stage two. That's minus one because the Earthworm is one stage higher, but then it is super effective, so you're back to two. So it's two plus your d4, please, Karkol.
It's a four.
It's a four. It's enough to take
it's
out the Earthworm.
It's
the
six.
Only roll that could take out the Earthworm. Brandy succeeds. Tell me about this, Ben Brandy. Tell me
huge.
About this double KO.
We're surfing into it, and Brandy's just revealed the strats that Earthworm hasn't realised. An Earthworm, very much Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z, realising, oh my goodness, it's over 9,000. It's got fire-type coverage. But Karkol sort of senses that even though we have the advantage here, Earthworm's raw physical power is going to be really tough to handle, so actually shakes Brandy off, hits a jump, the edge of like a loose rock that knocks Brandy off, and she's like, what? Karkol, no! And Karkol gives her a little wink.
Karkol.
Before he sort of flies like a burning sun into this Earthworm, colliding with this huge tail. It's like a baseball hitting a baseball bat, but this is where the bat implodes.
Yes, that's a huge explosion in the cave.
It sort of looks like the Karkol's up, wheels towards Brandy, but just before he can get all the way, he rolls onto his side.
Karkol.
No. Karkol.
Let's finish off these fights, see if I can get a little bit more chip damage down onto Decidueye. What is happening? The Gigalith is coming behind Decidueye. Decidueye didn't even think that Gigalith would be standing after that flurry, that assault, but he is coming, and he's going to try and hit with a Stone Edge. What are you going to do, Decidueye?
Decidueye, watch out behind you.
He's only got one HP left, so I don't need to worry so much about the super effectiveness. Let's go for thematical, a Sucker Punch, trying to get there before. Decidueye turns around and tries to go like behind the back of the Gigalith.
So if you do damage, you will be taking out the Gigalith. So let's just work out whether you take any damage in return.
So again, 2d6 plus 3 is a total. Oh my gosh, just about. It was a 7.
Oh my gosh, nearly.
I rolled a 2 and a 2.
So I'm going to do damage to you. Excellent. That's all I wanted from
you
this.
Are.
Right, come on, Gigalith. Give me a big roll.
Stu's playing the long game in this now. He's like, final arc.
Okay, so the Gigalith is stage 3, same as Decidueye. So it's 3. It's not super effective. So it's just going to be 3 plus my d4. See what I do. Here we go.
Oh, if you take out Decidueye here, that is a huge scalp.
It's a 2. Mm. So 5 damage to Decidueye.
Fine, mate. Absolutely fine. Well, not totally fine.
Make note of that damage somewhere.
All right, okay. All right, fine.
Decidueye lands this Sucker Punch and absolutely knocks out the Gigalith, but I think the Gigalith falls on one of Decidueye's wings.
I wonder if it's the Extreme Ball, even though the Gigalith is down, it's that the final Extreme Ball puppet raises it once more just to throw its whole body at Decidueye.
I like it. So Gigalith is down, and then it raises a Gig. A Giga impact at you, and Decidueye goes flying backwards, rights herself. Decidueye! But it's clearly taken a hit.
Ooh. Are you
all right? That should have been cleaner. I'm sorry, Kenny.
Decidueye.
Pan over to Theo, who has to use another Pokemon in order to take out this golem for one last flurry of blows. Theo, who's coming out?
It's Bro Baracle. He's popping out.
Oh, Baracle!
Simeon coach.
And the golem is going to go similar again. I think it's going to go for another ground-type move. Obviously, the last one was a big magnitude, so he's going to go for another magnitude, and we're going to see where it shakes. Maybe it'll be a little one, maybe it'll be a big one. What is Bro Baracle coming out instantly to hit this golem with?
Yep, I'm going to go for a good old liquidation.
Let's see. Again, if you hit, you take out the golem. It's just a case of, does Bro Baracle take damage in return?
I got a 2 and a 6 for an 8 plus 3. It's a 11.
Great. So Bro Baracle does exactly what Bro Baracle does best, and that is...
be better than Kabuto.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just so Kabuto up.
David, tell me about this incredible full success.
Bro Baracle, I think that in this dynamic, Kabuto is the Frank Grimes to Bro Baracle's Homer Simpson. And Bro Baracle comes over to Kabuto's fainted body and is like, Bro Baracle. Which Kabuto would be infuriated by, to be motivating their nemesis. But nonetheless, Bro Baracle is like, Bro Baracle, Bro Baracle. And fires Kabuto in a liquidation at Golem. As if trying to, in their sort of like optimistic spirit, use Kabuto as the ultimate weapon in the end. Which even in Kabuto's fainted state is just like, well, this feels embarrassing. But it is the Aqua Jet that Kabuto simply never could. And it just absolutely takes that Golem out. Just right in the face.
Golem!
Can we say it like the Golem slams against the wall, smashing it down, which was the intention of the rock smash that started this whole thing anyway?
Yeah. Golem, in its defeat, becomes the rock smash that we all wanted. The wall is smashed. Bro Baracle has once again succeeded in everything Kabuto couldn't. And then Bro Baracle hands Kabuto's limp body back to Theo, who sees this as the loveliest gesture.
Bro.
Whilst Kabuto, even in their state of unconsciousness, is seething. Seething.
And with that, you turn behind you and see that, thankfully, the rest of the special defenders and those who have chosen to bring with you have defeated the Wigglet Horde. Hannah is panting. Heron has taken the lead with his Porygon. General Phillips is grooving, wraps some Wigglet around his feet and is kicking them around in a flurry of dance moves.
And I think we see all of them who've defeated the Wigglets back that Lycanroc.
Oh my gosh, yes, the Lycanroc. Okay, yes. Brandy, that Lycanroc has caught your eye. And indeed, all three of you, let's say, have congregated around this immobile Lycanroc as General Phillips and the Special Defenders come and approach you.
Well done, baby. Everything good? Everything smooth? Everything all right with that? I see you defeated the Extreme Ball Pokemon.
We defeated the Extreme Ball Pokemon that were fighting us, but this one...
Gang, this Pokemon does not look in a good way. Did we just do this to those Pokemon?
Kenny, but don't think about what we did is what Pokemon do. They fight and they are knocked unconscious. What happened here is what Capricorp and the Pokemon League have done.
Does someone want to roll to see what's happened here? Who's looking most intensely then?
I think Kenny's looking pretty intensely.
Kenny, can you roll? Okay, yeah. Roll plus weird for weird insight.
So that's a plus 3, and I rolled a 7, so it is a total of a 10.
Checker place out works here. What happened here recently? What is about to happen? What Pokemon is nearby? What should I be on the lookout for? What here is useful or valuable? You know.
I think it's what is about to happen, and what is about to happen to this Lycanroc. Can this Lycanroc be healed?
This particular Lycanroc has reached an Extreme Ball stage where it's too far gone. And this Lycanroc is indicative of what is going to happen to all the Extreme Ball Pokemon if they remain within Extreme Ball employ. This is the final stage of the Extreme Ball.
Kenny, is it going to die? Is it already dead?
I think the best thing we can do for this Pokemon is to bury it. This thing isn't coming back.
Add one more thing onto our list. We have to try to help these Extreme Ball Pokemon. Because otherwise, they're all going to go this way.
Well, how do we release... You release an Extreme Ball Pokemon by... the person who owns the Extreme Ball pressing the release button or whatever it was.
You're right. And who currently owns all Extreme Ball Pokemon?
I guess the League HQ? We don't know, but surely the answers are going to be there.
Bash pipes up. Could be Kappa, if he's still a player. Or
And General Phillips and Heron share a knowing look. Tyler? Tyler.
Phillips, how far away would this headquarters be?
Poochyena, saddle up.
We ain't done yet, baby. And with that, having surmounted this particular part of their journey deep into the bowels of the Pokemon League, the Sifloatzels and the Special Defenders ready themselves and disappear deeper into the gloom of this particular cavern.
Thank you so much for listening. What an episode that was. Right, folks? It's Ali and Tom, your favourite friends from Critical
Sandwich. No! Oh, I've got it
so close.
Oh, well. It's actually your friends Tom and Ali in the same room.
Yeah, not Ali.
Not Ali and Tom. Those guys left. It's us. We're in the same room for once, so we decided to record a joint outro together. Thank you so much for listening to the episode. Ali, who should we thank first?
Let's thank Braxton Burks and Material Collective for all their music, as well as Glitch X City and Epidemic Sounds for all of their music and sound effects. Who's next, Tom? Who's next, Tom?
Who is next? I think I'm going to go with Michael Sands, the creator of Monster of the Week, which obviously was the inspiration for Pocket Monster of the Week, the game we are playing and we really enjoy playing, I think, and think works well. Sure, it's quite loosey-goosey, as you've certainly seen in this episode, which we just call HM Madness.
Yeah, we've really not accounted for HMs or TMs in our game at all, as we discussed earlier, actually.
Yeah. So that's where we are now. Who else have we got to thank, Ali?
Oh, we do sort of have to thank the creators of Pokemon, Jinichi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri. They really did us a solid there.
And of course, we couldn't finish a Critical Ditto episode without thanking our patrons. So we're going to go.
Do them one by one. Let's do them one by one.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Here we go. Thank you to Joseph Tibbs,
Freya,
Lily Gilder,
Rosie Skies Ahead,
Christy,
Mega Noodle,
Zachary Turing,
Eleanor Mihailov,
Tommy Portillo,
Aidan Clark,
it's very X Factor, Mark Smith,
Brad Demon Dowker,
My Cabbages,
Dr. Ranny,
Jerembi's Mum,
DGZ,
Alex W,
Crispy,
Huxley Spicer,
Beth Chivers,
Heather L. Snell,
Betsy Lewin Lee,
Darius Jukowski,
Polkadash 55,
Ellie Lieberman,
Jerembi,
Carrie Morrison, who edited this episode.
Yeah, thank you, Carrie.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Thank you a lot as well. Always, yeah, you're great.
Brill. Everything you do.
Awesome.
Scott M. Dr. Mega Man, PhD. Kaiko Pin Cosplay.
Big Fat Nuke.
Jonah Jackson.
Josh Anderson.
Cesar Trevino.
Force Majeure.
Crandon Creations.
Eric Eichinger.
Minimoy.
Jenny Voss.
And the Games Master, Alastair Collinson.
Bow, 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 bow.
Well, I really hurt my voice, actually.
Yeah, that's really regretted
doing that.
Yeah, that was really difficult.
People don't give the expats a guy kudos for his voice control enough.
It's unbelievable.
Vocal health is impressive.
Do you think he steams before he does it?
I think he steams while he's doing it.
He's in a sauna. That makes a lot of sense. Finally, I think we have just a few more people to thank. I would like to thank you, Ali.
I'd like to thank David.
Oh, yeah, cool. Anyone else?
Stu.
Right, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And no,
thank
you, sir. And I would like to thank myself, Tom, for just playing this game. And remember...
Oh, no, the outro.
Go catch them all.
No, don't.
And by all...
What do I say? Oh, yeah, just be yourself.
Thank you.
Countdown is on now. 4 weeks.
4 weeks? But I haven't started my 8-week get shred for the wedding diet yet.
Well, you're going to have to cut it in half time. You're going to have to be as half shred as you thought you were going to be.
I'm going to have to do double the exercise and eat half the amount. Oh, no.
That sounds sustainable and fine.